Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in. Hour number two. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. You are listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, and we promised you that we would continue to update you with all of the latest news surrounding the disaster of the Afghanistan evacuation. And unfortunately, we have some very bad news for you. The Wall Street Journal in the last couple of minutes reporting, and I'm reading directly from their article. We're going to be joined by Governor Kristi Noem here in a moment, but this is the opening paragraph of the Wall Street Journal story that just came down. The U.S. ambassador in Kabul has told staff there four U.S. Marines were killed in an explosion at the city's airport and three wounded. A U.S. official with knowledge of the briefing said at least three U.S. troops were injured. But again, opening line of this sentence from their story at the Wall Street Journal, U.S. ambassador in Kabul has told staff there four U.S. Marines killed in an explosion at the city's airport, three wounded. That is per the Wall Street Journal. We bring in now Kristi Noem, governor. And Governor, I imagine you're hearing that news as we are just now in real time. What is your reaction?
It's horrific. I can't imagine what their families are feeling right now. And they're watching their loved ones serve their country in a situation they never should have been in because of failed leadership by the United States president. So, you know, this is a situation that unfortunately, we're going to have to continue day by day to get through, but we absolutely have to recognize that the responsibility for this lays on the administration, and that when we get all the Americans safely to a position where they can be protected, that we need to dig into how this ever happened and hold people accountable.
I want to say, too, for everybody out there listening, we're trying to bring you as much news as it happens as we can. I know that a lot of you have friends, family, loved ones that are in the military. Many of you listening to us right now may have friends, family, and loved ones who are among those who are in Afghanistan right now. And we know how difficult hearing news like this can be for you, but we're trying to bring you the latest updates as we get it. And that news just came down. We're talking to Governor Kristi Noem. Governor, it's difficult to even understand how much of a disaster this is for our country to have failed, the Joe Biden administration to have failed on this level. I know we're still dealing and grappling with the tragedies that are unfurling in real time, but sooner or later we will go back and we will review the decisions that were made here. If we are in the process of having had Donald Trump impeached over a phone call, when you watch what's going on in Afghanistan right now, there have to be significant consequences for the Biden administration with one of the biggest failures in decades in American history, maybe the biggest in most of the people who are listening right now's lives. What needs to happen here?
Well, let me be clear, Clay, that everything has to be on the table because what I've been struggling with is two different things in this situation. Number one, I served on the Armed Services Committee in the House of Representatives for years, and there's protocols to withdrawing from this type of a situation. The Department of Defense, the Pentagon, there are boxes you check. There is normal standard operating procedures for how you withdraw troops from a war zone and from an area that's dangerous like this. And President Trump laid out the blueprint perfectly when he withdrew our troops from Iraq. He defeated ISIS first, and we were able to withdraw from a position of strength. So absolutely, I'm trying to figure out what was a decision that was made by this administration and what was just inept and idiot decisions that were made by leaders that weren't protecting our national security interests every single day. And that's really what we're going to have to get to the bottom of. And boy, we are absolutely going to hold those accountable for who made those decisions or who overlooked the importance of keeping our American troops and our American citizens safe.
Governor Noem, it's Buck. I appreciate your perspective on the issues in Afghanistan, and we will continue to update everybody over the course of the show about what is happening on the ground there and what the security situation is as it seems to be rapidly deteriorating. I also wanted to get your view on the situation here at home. I would argue that we are in a period where freedom, individual freedom, is under greater assault than at any time in my lifetime, because of COVID, because of the vaccine mandates, the mask requirements, all these different regulations that are going into effect. Now there are private companies, now the federal government's getting involved. You had before you the opportunity, and if you want to add some context to exactly what the bill would have done, by all means, you're the one who's actually the governor in South Dakota. But you had an opportunity to sign something that your Republican-led legislature, or Republican-dominated legislature, would have put forward to protect individuals on the basis of conscience from being forced by private businesses in your state to get vaccinated. Why did you oppose them on this? Why are you unwilling to go forward with that?
Well, that is not true. Number one, in the state of South Dakota, the people have been more free than anywhere else in this country during this pandemic. We never once closed a single business, never once issued a shelter in place, never mandated anything such as masks or requirements at all.
Okay, that's analysis. What's not true?
What is not true is the fact that this bill was proposed to me and brought to me by my legislature. I have two legislators who drafted a bill that they can call themselves into session if they have the support of their colleagues to bring it to me and place it on my desk.
Will you sign it?
Their bill is unlike anything that is proposed in this country. And the reason that I am not in favor of their bill is because I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative that respects the Constitution. And I believe that leaders today are overstepping their authority. We lived through 18 months of hell.
So in what constitutional analysis do you, under your state health authority, not have the right to do this?
Because these guys in this bill are trying to make a government that's more powerful and that is bigger, that will step in between the relationship between people and their employers and will make decisions for them. And when I'm not governor anymore, how do I know the next governor won't use that exact same precedent to use it to limit the freedom?
But you are the governor
people.
Now, Governor Noem, and right now we're at a point where there are mandates going. People are having to get shots right now. People are facing losing their jobs right now. Well, why not be a person who is taking a stand in favor of individual freedom, which I believe is actually the primary purpose of the Constitution? Why not do that?
And there is nobody in this country that would say that no other governor took more heat over defending liberty and freedom than I did this last year.
I mean, I think Governor Ron DeSantis might disagree, but keep going.
Listen, Buck, you invited me on your show. Let me talk.
Go ahead.
If you think that I have the authority to step in between this relationship, then you think Joe Biden should be able to mandate vaccines to everybody in this country as well.
That's not true.
And I've already been.
You have more power at the state level. You have plenary power. No. He has that. I just disagree with your constitutional analysis.
Government must be constrained by the Constitution. It is not conservative to grow government and to tell and dictate to businesses. If we did that, Buck, then you're saying it's okay for liberals to tell cake bakers that they have to bake cakes for gay marriages, that liberals and government have the ability to tell nuns and Hobby Lobby that they have to provide contraception to their employees. Now, conservatives, like myself, they fight that government overreach tooth and nail. We tell employers that they have a relationship with their employees, and South Dakota is a right-to-work state. This bill that these legislators have discussed is pro-labor. It's pro-union. There's no other bill in this country that is written like this bill we have in South Dakota, and I will get up every single day and continue to fight for my people.
So out of curiosity, because this is the second time. No, I've Governor.
I banned vaccines.
No, this is not. I understand. I'm not asking you about the rest of what you've done during the process of COVID. I'm asking you about what you're doing right now. Conservatives, madam,
that I've made in this country.
I would like to ask you another question. Mm-hmm. It's actually my show. So tell me this. When you initially opposed the transgender bill from your legislature, you said it was because, and by the way, I don't work for the South Dakota legislature, so I don't know. It's something, there was some revision, some changes you want to it. Did you ever actually get those revisions and sign a bill to protect women from having to compete against men in sports in your state?
Absolutely. I've got executive orders in place right now that protect girls' sports in K-12 and college athletics. I already have drafted bills that I'll be bringing when we go into session that will be signed into law. That was not the question with those bills that were brought to South Dakota. Those bills would have immediately, because they were so flawed, would have ended up in court, and I wouldn't have been able to enforce anything.
But so your executive order will not end up in court. Is that the contention?
It will not. Absolutely not. And neither will the bills that I'll be bringing, because they will be drafted correctly that can withstand challenges in court.
So I'm glad to hear that there was follow up on that. And just to be clear then, so you will under no circumstances sign anything and wherever it may be in the process here that would prevent private businesses. I mean, I just, why not? So it's because you think that big government, because the other side is going to do this. You're talking about unilateral disarmament and saying that Joe Biden is going to push this at the federal level.
No better than they are.
He's going to do this no matter what you do. Why not use your power as the governor of a very red state to protect individual rights from vaccine mandates by businesses? You can do it under your state authority.
You ask every single family that's living in a Democrat-run state right now what happened when the government overstepped their authority and took away their rights and freedoms. I do not have the authority to dictate what you're asking me to do. I will not step out of my role as government, and I will not, governor, and I will not go forward and do something that I don't have the authority under the Constitution to do. I will give people every tool that they possibly can have to fight, and I will fight for them, and I will make sure that I'm going after and suing the Biden administration for these vaccine mandates, and I will go after and continue to defend their freedoms and make sure that I'm not requiring my state employees to get vaccinated. I have already banned vaccine passports here, and that is exactly the respect that I have for this country. When you have a leader, Buck, like you're asking me to do, when you have a leader overstep their authority, especially in a time of crisis, that's when we lose this country. And what you're asking me to do is no better than what these liberals have done the last 18 months.
I think you're ducking, and I think you're refusing to take a stand once again. That's what I think. So we are free to disagree on this issue, but you have a state that would back you on this. You have the votes in the legislature if you're willing to go forward with it. And you have someone has to be in the vanguard here for freedom. Someone has to actually say enough is enough.
For that written bill that those two legislators have, they absolutely can bring that bill, call themselves into session, and bring it to me, and I'll evaluate it.
So will you sign it? I mean, you said, by the way, you said you would sign the trans bill and then backed off of it. We know that happened. Would you sign this bill or not?
That is not true, Buck. And I don't know where, if you haven't been to South Dakota, have you, during our legislative session, and heard these debates?
Governor, let me ask you this. We've got to hit a break here in a sec. What is your view on masks on school children? We've got all sorts of craziness going on as it pertains to kids being required to wear masks. In South Dakota, what's your perspective on that?
Our kids are not going to be wearing masks in schools. Our K-12 system, I think overwhelmingly, everyone agrees that it's best for kids to go back and be in the classroom and to do that in an environment where they can learn and be successful.
All right, Governor, we do appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about all these issues. And we certainly are all aligned on getting all Americans out of Afghanistan as soon as possible. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Buck and Clay. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. So
I think you got to read for us, Buck, as we go to break.
I do. One way you can save money this month is by switching your cell phone service to AT&T, from AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile to Pure Talk. It's the cell phone service that Rush introduced to this audience 2 years ago. Pure Talk's on the same exact network using the same exact towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family over $800 a year, and switching is so easy. You can keep your phone and your number or save on brand new iPhones or Androids. Clay and I are customers. You should be too. Listen to this offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month, Clay. It's amazing. It's a fantastic deal.
It is, in fact, an absolutely fantastic deal. And all you need to do to get hooked up with it right now is go to #250. Go to #250 and you will be doing what already is taking place in my family, and you will be glad that you did it as well. You can save 50% on your first month and you will be ready to roll. Again, that is #250 and say Pure Talk on your wireless phone. You get to keep the same number, everything else, and you can save up to $800. It's a heck of a deal. Do it now.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are going to bring you up-to-date information every segment here for the whole day, of course, on what's going on. We have the horrible news about 4 Marines killed in action in Afghanistan from the suicide bombings, 3 Marines injured. and dozens of Afghan civilians killed and injured. We're going to follow up with more analysis on this. We will have Lara Logan from Fox News joining at 2:05. Now, just because I know that it seemed like, why are we talking about something that's not this for a moment? And first, I would say thank you to Governor Kristi Noem for coming on and for being willing to hear an opposing point of view. The Noem camp, the comms folks from Noem's team, pretty much, I mean, they didn't demand, but they very strenuously wanted the opportunity to come on because there's been a lot of pushback publicly, including from people like me, about what seemed like an unwillingness to go forward with this bill. And you know, we can get into the specifics of it. But in the aftermath of the transgender bill issue in South Dakota, then there was more criticism over this. The Noem camp wanted to come on and they wanted to discuss this, and I didn't want to walk away from it. Have a lot of respect for what Governor Noem has done in the state of South Dakota about COVID specifically, have praised her multiple times on my show. And I think, Clay, one thing that has to be remembered here is, you know, we have to sometimes hold in our own minds, in whatever way that may be, people in positions of power who are on our team, want them to do the best for their people. And I disagree with the governor's analysis that she doesn't have the power. I think I made that very clear. I'm sorry for anybody if there was any crosstalk and also, you know, if there was any inability to hear some parts of that. But I think it's important to know that right now we're being overrun by mandates are going to hit all over the country. And if no one is going to stop, they're just going to get you with private sector mandates. They're going to get you with federal mandates. Everyone's going to be getting the shot soon unless someone comes up with a way to stop it. That's what we're heading for, Clay. And that's very frustrating. And I think also part of it is I'm angry about what's happened here in New York City. And I would love to see Governor Noem be the beachhead of sanity and freedom from these mandates. And so if that came across in an impassioned way. But the Noem camp knows that I have a lot of respect for what's going on there. And just want to say all that, and also respect that she wanted to come on and actually talk about it.
Look, people disagree. And I've been straightforward and transparent about this for a long time. People disagreeing doesn't mean that you disagree about everything under the sun, but you and the governor have a disagreement. The governor came on and wanted to talk about that disagreement. I give her credit and her staff for reaching out and wanting to come on. And look, we're not going to run from people who disagree with us.
If I call someone out in public and they want to come on the show, I'm going to have them on the show and we're going to actually have the discussion on air.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the way
perspective of the show as well. Like, we believe the First Amendment should be alive and well.
Yeah. So from our team, not like CNN, not like crazy.
No, but I mean, you and the governor have a disagreement. And so you could pretend that you don't have that disagreement, or her team can say, hey, can we come on and talk about this? And you guys can go back and forth arguing the two perspectives. I think that's what healthy debate should be. We'll come back and update you on the latest in Afghanistan, but we want to tell you, three words from an injured veteran define what Tunnel to Towers Foundation does. They gave my life back, my freedom back, not just for myself, but for my family. These words, so powerful. We're nearly 20 years since 9/11, and the foundation is honoring heroes with 200 mortgage-free homes for Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children, and for the veterans and first responders with catastrophic injuries. These homes bring hope and improve lives, help Tunnel to Towers support even more heroes and families in need by donating $11 a month at T2T.org. Remember, never forget, donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. Your generosity helps to ensure that we truly do never forget. Nearly 20 years later, T2T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We're doing our best to update you on the situation on the ground. Statement by the Pentagon just released. We can confirm a number of U.S. service members were killed in today's complex attack at Kabul Airport. A number of others are being treated for wounds. We also know a number of Afghans fell victim to this heinous attack. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the loved ones and teammates of all those killed and injured. Buck, what this does is it changes the calculus around what had always been a disastrous on-the-ground situation. And unfortunately, this is what we have been talking about now for a couple of weeks, that we had allowed the situation on the ground to become so untenable that the overall violence or chances of violence were increasing. And unfortunately, we saw it just a couple of hours ago, and our brave soldiers, four Marines killed, at least three wounded in this suicide attack. And
right. When the moment that we lose American servicemen and women, Clay, it just raises in everybody's minds the stakes. It raises the sense of heightened risk that everybody else on the ground is going through right now. And we often talk about politics and political decisions here, and we discuss the Biden administration, the lack of foresight, planning, tactical acumen, skill. That has very serious consequences. That's what we're seeing here. This isn't arguing over whether the marginal tax rate is, you know, 35% or 37 or whatever. This is life and death. This is the national security of the United States that is involved here, and of our people. Most important, the most important obligation that our government has is to keep our people, and yes, to keep our soldiers out of harm's way. And it's tragic, and I just can't help but think about the families of those Marines right now. And, you know, Clay, there's also part of me that can't help but also immediately go to what's next. We're not out of there. We got thousands of soldiers on the ground. You've got Haqqani network swirling around in Kabul. You've got people that clearly wish us harm that are already being picked up in chatter from the various surveillance apparatuses that we have there. And this is going to be a situation where, I mean, the Biden administration, honestly, I feel like is in hope and pray mode in a lot of ways. Yeah, they're trying to get people out. There's things going on. But what escalation can they really do here now in response to this threat? They're not in charge of security on the ground.
Yeah, and the silence from the White House and really from all spokespersons and everybody else. Remember, this is as recently as yesterday, basically. Jen Psaki was bragging, trying to brag anyway, about how well the evacuation had gone from Afghanistan. And now we've got dead American soldiers as a result of the incompetence of this administration. And to your point, things may get much worse on the ground before they get better. And again, Joe Biden nowhere to be heard, not answering questions, not discussing the reality of what has become the biggest foreign policy disaster since Saigon in 1975. And we may have an issue here where we're going to be leaving a lot of Americans on the ground. In the first hour of this program, Sean Parnell told us he thought there was a 100% chance that American citizens were going to have to be left behind, which could create a Iran hostage situation like Jimmy Carter dealt with. And you've already got Biden's approval ratings tanking, the failures at the border, the failures with the murder rate, the failures with inflation. Everything that Joe Biden is touching is turning to crap effectively. And this is the biggest mess in decades, generations of American foreign policy.
Let's open up the lines and hear from some of you out there. And especially if you're in contact with anybody who's on the ground in Kabul, or you know anybody who's working to try to get interpreters, SIV holders, Americans. I should put Americans first, of course, and I mean to. Give us a call, 800-282-2882. We also have real-time updates for you on this story at clayandbuck.com. Linda in Chicago, Illinois, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to really call and compliment you on your interview with Christine Ohm and how well you did it, because the things that you said to her were what I would have said and what I would have asked her. And I had wanted to hear from her what she had to say in response about the women's sports thing and other things. And I want to thank you for pushing back a bit with her. And it made me a little, I'm all about not what people say, but what they actually do. And so, because talk is cheap. You can say politicians say things all the time that I agree with. But then if they don't actually do it, I've gone away from wondering about what people have said, because so. But I thought you did a really fine job, and she did give me some answers that I appreciated, knowing her stance. It made me I'll feel a little less, because I was very pro Kristi Noem, and then when she did what she did with the
transgender bill. I mean, anybody who's wondering, you can go and watch the Tucker interview with her. Tucker Carlson did an interview with her months ago on that one. And I would just say, watch that interview and come to your own conclusions about what you think. And then for a lot of people on the right, there has been, in the last couple of days, some pretty substantial pushback. And the Noem camp is going after people publicly on social media very aggressively in response, too. So, look, sometimes, you know, we've all been at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And we, you know, I mean, Clay's a guy who knows sports. I mean, if I sit down at the Travis table and I say the Tennessee Titans are going to go 0-14 or something this year, it's going to get a little contentious. Doesn't mean that you're not sitting at the same table and you're all part of the same family. But I think if we're going to get the right answers, I think we need to push sometimes. And I think that there's urgency right now. They're lining up all the mandates, all the state push all across the country. And I mean, I think a lot of us really want to see something that will prevent a continuous regime of vax passports, needles in arms. And this is obviously very personal to me because of what I've been going through here in New York City. So, Linda, that was the intent. And if you felt the interview was illuminating, then I really appreciate that. And we try. And like I said, it's within the family, folks. We can't always agree on all the things all the time on the right. You know, a lot of people that became big Trump supporters, Clay, in the early days in conservative media, I remember they were very opposed to President Donald Trump. But then people forgave them because they figured out what was really going on and what the Trump movement was all about.
No doubt. By the way, update on Afghanistan, and this is cowardly, but probably not surprising. The State Department says they will not have a press briefing today. So we're talking about the silence, the void, the absence of responsibility that we are seeing from the administration in control right now. The State Department just said we're not talking at all to the American people. Now, maybe the White House is going to have a press briefing. Really, what needs to happen, Buck, and I think you probably agree with me on this, is Joe Biden needs to come out, directly address the American people, apologize for the failures of the Afghan evacuation, and he needs to personally call all of these Marine families, certainly, at an absolute minimum. And we know they have a ton of people out there listening to us right now who have family, may have family serving in Afghanistan. You've heard the news, 4 Marines killed, 3 wounded in this explosion. Worst fears confirmed. Remember, we hadn't had any casualties in Afghanistan in 18 months, I think, if I'm correct about this, leading up to the evacuation. It had been fairly safe on the ground, and now everything has gone, it's gone to complete hell. I mean, frankly, if you look at what's going on right there, and we're concerned that it may get worse from here, at least that's what the data might suggest is where we are headed. But I want to tell you about my friends and also my family, specifically my wife. Been getting relief from everyday severe pain. She's been getting hooked up. She trains people. She is an incredible athlete. She does all sorts of training, whether it's Pilates, whether it's spin, all these different things. And a lot of times you get worked up and physically you need weakened. You just need to be able to get back and not have any pain. And that's why she loves Relief Factor. It's all natural, and it has taken care of all of her recovery from workout pain. It can take care of your aging pain, all different sorts of issues. 100% drug-free, created by doctors based on scientific research, helps your body reduce pain and inflammation. Buck, I know your mom and dad also are using it, and they love it.
Absolutely. It's brought great relief, particularly for my dad, who's had some knee pain and loves to get out there on the golf course and just be active day to day. And Relief Factor has really helped. Relief Factor is 100% drug free. It addresses joint pain, knee pain, hip, back, shoulder pain, you name it. Because Relief Factor goes to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Phones open, 800-282-2882. 800-282-2882. And we've got Victor in Orange County, California on the line. Victor, what's up?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having a couple of things.
Well, I think we lost Victor. I think he's, can we hear him?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you called us.
Aaron, are you guys there?
Yes.
Okay, so the governor of South Dakota, I do think she has a point. If you mandate this, if she does this, then what's going to stop the next administration from doing the same thing?
Well, okay. I mean, there's a difference between, let me just say this. Yeah. There's a difference between a mandate,
California.
So yeah, I understand. But let me just explain. There's a difference between a mandate that requires something, right? Like, I am mandating you do X, and a mandate that guarantees your freedom from something, which doesn't require you to do anything. And I think that's a significant difference, right? And you can use the mask example as an, you know, to kind of think through it. What people are arguing for, Buck and I, other people, I'm a parent, is the right to choose whether or not your kid wears a mask. That is the freedom to make a choice. That is not a mask, not wearing mask mandate. That's the freedom as a parent to make a choice. A mandate, which is what's happening in many blue states, is we are demanding that you do this. And so what I think, and Buck, you can explain exactly that, but I think there's a difference between a mandate requiring an action and a mandate that makes clear that you aren't required to do something. Those are two fundamentally different mandates.
We don't live in a false, like, libertarian utopia where businesses, I mean, just take South Dakota, for example, there are licensing authorities in that state for funeral homes, for chiropractors. There's a lot of regulations that you have to go through. There's a minimum wage in the state of South Dakota. There's a lot of things that businesses are told they can and can't do, sometimes having to do with safety regulations, other times having to do with economic regulation. And I've just got to say, I mean, on this point that, you know, oh, the Biden administration will do it, so we shouldn't do it. You'll notice something here. The mandates all go in one way. The left uses its power to force people to do things, in this case, to force needles in your arms. And we have to find out a way to get that to stop. We have to find a way to get it to no longer be the case. The federal government has a lot of coercive power, especially, for example, with hospital systems, but just in general. And they're saying they want private companies to do this. States under their health authority and also under anti-discrimination law have a lot of leeway, but just even under their health department leeway, they could determine that forcing people to take a vaccine that we haven't even had now, what? I mean, we're doing a third booster shot. We don't even know what that's going to, I mean, we haven't done the real trials for this. That's not safe, and they won't allow a private business to make people do it the same way that you can as a private business decide you're not going to serve certain people because of immutable characteristics. There's a lot of case law to support doing something to protect freedom. Or, guys, we can all just sit around and hope that the government doesn't just come for us in one way or another, which is where we are right now. That's my feeling on it. And, you know, I see it in New York. They're making everyone get the shot. But we don't have power here.
Lots of governors have made a decision that they're not going to allow vaccine mandates. They have done that in Florida. They have done that in Texas. They have done that in Tennessee. They have done that, I believe, in Georgia, Oklahoma. I could run through a long list. Arkansas, I believe, as well. A lot of red states have made that move. And so I think it's an interesting question to debate on a philosophical level. And again, the other thing to factor in here is every state legislature is different, right? There are lots of unique specificities in each individual state. But that is, look, I mean, again, she wanted to come on the show. They requested an opportunity to come on the show. And
yeah, it was to be very clear, everybody, it was their ask. they wanted to come on. And if you see some of the exchanges between the governor and some other conservative pundits in the last 24 hours or so, you'll see this is, this people feel very strongly about this. It's gotten pretty contentious because it feels like if we're going to surrender, or how about this? How about going on offense in favor of freedom instead of playing the, oh, but my small government game? That's the question that we face now. We've been trying to say, let's play the small government game for a while. We are now defending on our 1-yard line. I mean, they're about to start forcing needles into your kids' arms, everybody. Clay and I know it. That's happening. So we can either try to rally against this in a meaningful way, or if you're going to end up like everybody I know in New York, getting the shot one way or the other.
And we're talking to Alex Berenson, by the way, tomorrow about all of this, because he's been so great at analyzing the data and telling us where everything is headed. And you're just now starting to hear people recognize, oh, wait, Israel, which is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world, they got more jabs and more people's arms than basically any country. The vaccine is failing after about 6 months. And so there's a panic setting in inside of the Biden administration, Dr. Fauci, everybody else. You've got all these different states making illogical decisions. Governor of Oregon masking now required outdoors. All of this is lining up in a pretty colossal mess. And so figuring out how to fight this is going to be, I believe, the number one battle that we're fighting as we move through the fall and the winter, when it's naturally a big issue. By the way, breaking news, Wall Street Journal will continue to break this down for you. At least 60 Afghans killed in the Kabul explosions, as well as the four United States Marines. No group has officially claimed responsibility. We will talk about the situation on the ground in Afghanistan and what it means going forward here in the United States when we come back. We're also going to be joined right after this break by Lara Logan from Fox News, who spent a lot of time on the ground in the Middle East. We'll see what she thinks about all the chaotic images coming out of Afghanistan. She has had a lot of experience in that situation. It should be a really interesting conversation, to be sure. A seismically important day in the world of news, and we will continue to break it all down for you. Thanks for hanging with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.